Well, good morning again, everybody. You guys are a lot more alert when we first start. We're going to try this mic and see how it goes. And if I don't like it, I'm going to switch over to my safety blanket mic that I have over there. So we're taking a slight detour from our Who's in the Mirror series. There was a possibility that Pastor John was going to be away this weekend, and there was absolutely no possibility that I was going to preach on divorce. So next week, we'll be back to our Who's in the Mirror series, but today a little bit of a detour. You will hopefully have remembered back on May 6th, Pastor John preached the Salt and Light sermon. You can check it out on the podcast if you missed it. Now, in that sermon, he raised a few interesting questions that I want us to take a bit of a closer look at this morning. He asked, would our church be missed if it just disappeared? He went a little further. Well, we're done. We don't even need to talk anymore. He went a little further and asked, if you moved to another neighborhood, would you be missed? Ultimately, a main component of being salt and light, we learned, is striving to have maximum impact. Living a life of maximum impact and being a community of maximum impact. So where does maximum impact begin? It begins with the ordinary. We showed that video at the start this morning of the Wintergarten marble machine. And Swedish inventor Martin Molin took 2,000 marbles and ordinary objects to create this machine that you see on the screen. And simply by turning that crank and having the marbles go through in various ways, it played guitar, drums, xylophone, and probably a whole bunch of other instruments that I don't know. Simply by turning that crank and letting the marbles run through it. As I said at the start, what's more ordinary than some marbles and some kitchen funnels? Yes, complicated, but Molin had a creative vision, and he took those ordinary things and produced something extraordinary. For you in your life, and for us as Byron Community Church, where does maximum impact begin? Begins with the ordinary. We're going to have a look at John 6, 1-13, and see a simple, ordinary act that leads to something extraordinary. You'll find it on the screen, but I encourage you, if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, to flip to it yourself, because you never know. Sometimes we might trick you and put the wrong thing up there. It's happened once before. Sometime after this, so Jesus and his disciples have been teaching people and healing people, and they're trying to get a break now. They want to go off on their own. So sometime after all this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" How far will they go? I don't know. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now I think you're probably thinking two things. Number one, did Josh coordinate his outfit to go with the scripture reading? Yes, he did. Fish and barley loaves. The second thing you're thinking is that a simple, ordinary act has led to something extraordinary. Jesus does something amazing with something so ordinary, an ordinary little boy. This boy who isn't named is probably sent out about his business for the day. Maybe his family had some things he needed to do at the market, or maybe he was supposed to be an apprentice at a carpentry shop or something. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. But one way or another, this boy finds his way into the crowd where Jesus is. And this boy is smart, Because before he left the house that morning, he packed up his Toy Story lunchbox with a little bit of bread and a couple of fish. So he's got a little lunch, just enough for himself. But it's getting late and people are getting hungry, and this is a big old crowd of people. The disciples start looking through the crowd to see what food they can scrounge up. They only find this small, ordinary boy. Now this crowd is big. He could have easily hidden himself from the disciples and kept the lunch for himself. After all, it was his. Or he could have handed over just a little bit of the food, right? Or he could have scarfed down some of it and handed the leftovers, but he doesn't. The boy hands over all the food he has to Jesus. It's a bit of a sacrifice. I mean, what's he going to eat now? And certainly he had no idea what Jesus was going to do, but he handed it over to Jesus anyways. I'm getting a little bit squeaky. I'm going to switch over to this one, Ken. The effort was there. He hands everything he has over to Jesus. His lunch, doesn't eat it, doesn't give the leftovers, he gives everything. Maximum impact is when we make intentional decisions and purposeful actions that carry with it sacrifice and trust. Maximum impact is when we make intentional decisions and purposeful actions that carry with it sacrifice and trust. In the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, we find a chapter that we sometimes refer to as the Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11, it talks of many Old Testament heroes who had maximum impact, like Abraham, where God said, go, so Abraham went. Or Noah, who was instructed to take on this massive building project to prepare for something that he couldn't even imagine. And so Noah builds the ark. Or Moses, who refuses to be known as Pharaoh's daughter and instead sacrifices a life of luxury to be mistreated alongside the people of God. Or the people who marched around Jericho for 7 days simply because they were instructed to do so. And after simply marching around, the walls came down. Read this chapter for yourself later, Hebrews 11. But all of these people had maximum impact. They had intentional decisions and purposeful actions that carried sacrifice and required trust. Whether it was giving up comfort or material possessions, looking foolish in the eyes of others, leaving the safety they had known for uncertainty, and putting in the work for the things they were called and asked to do. Maximum impact. The problem today is that we value safety and predictability. We like to follow our predictable routine and stay within our comfort zone. But the problem with that, as Oswald Sanders says, the kingdom of God was never advanced by men and women of caution. You have been saved to serve. You have been made in the image of God to do good works. As we read in 1 John 3:18, let us not love with words, but with actions. If you want this place to matter and have maximum impact, if you want your life to really matter, to really mean something, then it's all about intentional decisions, those purposeful actions that require sacrifice and trust. If what you're doing doesn't require sacrifice and doesn't require trust, then what you're doing probably, not even probably, then it isn't productive. That little boy doesn't keep any food back for himself. He certainly had no idea what Jesus was about to do. All those folks named in Hebrews 11, sacrifice and trust. So here's a question for you to consider. Where is God asking you to go? Or what is God asking you to do that you're not doing? I can relate to that question because this week in preparing for this, I felt very strongly that I needed to talk about two things that I really didn't want to talk about. But I'm going to risk offending some of you right now, which is never my intention. But if you do get annoyed today, just wait till next week when we talk about divorce. John told me to say that, so. All right. We're talking ordinary to extraordinary, so we got to talk about some ordinary things. Being on time, which we were really good at this morning, actually. But look, things happen. People are late sometimes. We're not talking about that. We're talking about consistent lateness. or even the opposite, consistently bolting out the doors before we've even said amen. It's a bit of sacrifice, right? The alarm goes on a little bit earlier. You're running late, so maybe you don't get to stop at Timmy's this morning. But you're trusting that God is going to take that little something ordinary, those extra 10 minutes, and do something extraordinary with them. See, it's in that time you're going to get to connect with people that you don't know. Even people amongst your own church family that you don't get to talk with a lot of the time. Particularly in the morning, when we have visitors show up to Byron Community Church, they're usually early. And they sit in an empty auditorium. That's a missed opportunity for us. And missed opportunities do not lead to maximum impact. One more awkward thing and then we'll move on. It's just a simple question. Are you having maximum impact with your financial giving? Amount means absolutely nothing. In your financial support of your church, whether this is your church or you're listening on the podcast from somewhere else, or in other mission organizations that you support, is your financial giving intentional? And does your giving have an element of sacrifice and trust attached to it? This is an appeal for more money. Like I said, amount doesn't matter. This is an appeal that what you've got going on up here and in here is aligned with God. Is there an element of sacrifice and trust associated with your giving? Know this. When it comes to your time, when it comes to your efforts, and when it comes to your money, when you hand it over to God, God won't waste a thing. Nothing will be wasted. We just read that, didn't we? When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." At the tail end of last winter and into the spring, we ran a weekly program for kids for 2 months, Adventure Club. And so every Thursday for about 75 minutes or so, we ran a beach party theme program in the basement. In many ways, that program was a complete and utter failure. We didn't have a volunteer team from Byron, and we couldn't even get too many of our own kids to come out on a regular basis. But for 8 weeks, we put on grass skirts, we manufactured some energy, and we put on a program for like 4 or 5 kids. That's a lot of energy. That's a lot of planning. That's a whole lot of effort by those involved to put that thing together, and it was generating nothing. At times it was disappointing, and at times we looked at it like it was a failure. Except it wasn't at all. Why? Because God doesn't waste anything. We entrusted our time and our energy to God, and he did extraordinary things with it. I said we didn't have a volunteer team from here. That's because we had a junior high who helped us out. Their schedule didn't allow them to attend our youth night, so we stayed connected with them and their family by having them help us for beach party. And we gave them leadership opportunities, and now that their schedule changed, they're a big part of our youth group. You saw them in the video we showed last week. One of the kids that did attend Adventure Club became youth group age this past year and has rarely missed a Wednesday night since September. You saw him in last week's video, too, and you even saw him up on this stage doing a Christmas monologue in December. He's invited one of his friends to youth group who's now become a part of it, and you saw him in the video as well. Some of those other kids have joined our ball hockey program, and every single one of them are signed up for clubs camp this summer. God doesn't waste anything. Intentional decisions and purposeful actions with sacrifice and trust has maximum impact. God would not let that energy and that effort go to waste. And God will not allow your energy, your effort go to waste either. Trust God. Make the sacrifices he's calling you to make and know that something extraordinary will happen. Now, in the case of Adventure Club, we got to see how God used that energy and that effort really quickly. Sometimes you're not going to see the payoff. You won't see those extraordinary results for a very long time. You may never even see them on this side of eternity. But we can trust that with God, nothing is wasted. So then what is holding you back from accepting God's call to serve? We're going to try and see if we can get this picture up on the screen. It's from 10 years ago, 2008. I'm looking as young and as handsome now as I did then. So that's me in Orangeville with my junior ball hockey team. Of course, they are called the Ducks. And they won the championship game that year. That picture brings up dozens and dozens of stories and sermon illustrations that I could use. But I want to share a couple things. First, that was a church program. It started very, very small, and it grew. That year, we were up to 12 teams, 6 junior age and 6 senior teams, over 120 kids in a really small town. It grew and was only possible because a great number of men and women decided that they were going to give up an hour or so of their Thursday evenings and an hour or so of their Saturday mornings to come be with some kids. A few of those volunteers knew absolutely nothing about sports, nothing about hockey. They just loved Jesus. They were called into something that was terrifying to them because they knew nothing about it. But because of them, because of their willingness to make intentional decisions that required some sacrifice and trust, collectively we got to open the Bible and teach over 100 kids every single week. That kid you can kind of see in the corner photobombing, I've talked about him before, but he's played on my senior team. He got me in trouble almost every single week, man. He'd smash his stick when he missed a shot. He'd trash talk the other team or even the referee. I won't even tell you about the time he blinded me for a while. Really frustrating sometimes. He gets introduced to the love of God by playing ball hockey in a church parking lot with some Christians that were willing to give up some hours to do that. As he grew older, and I was long out of the picture doing things in Toronto, that seed that was planted gets watered and nurtured by another church and another group of Christians. And this ordinary hockey-playing boy grows into a man of God and becomes a missionary. Nothing is wasted. God's not going to waste anything. So be willing to step outside your comfort zone. Be willing to make a little sacrifice and have a little trust. Because God will take your ordinariness. Yes, that's a made-up word. God will take your ordinariness and use it to make something extraordinary happen. As you know, we have a ball hockey program here, right? Right downstairs. It's a little small program. We've only done it a couple of years, but it's growing a bit. You know what's really interesting about this program compared to all the other sports programs I've done? All the parents stay in the gym. So last season, in our little gym downstairs, you've all seen our gym, we had like 30, sometimes 40. When we got to the end of the season, sometimes even more, parents, grandparents, and siblings watching 20 kids play ball hockey. What would happen if we decided that we were going to give up an hour on one Saturday or two, let alone decide to be a referee or a coach, but just an hour on one Saturday or two Saturdays this fall, and we came out, had a cup of coffee, and sit alongside those parents and cheer our kids on together? That seems pretty ordinary, right? But that's where ministry happens. That's when you have maximum impact. I loved coaching. At camp, sometimes they give you camp names. I was coach. I loved it. You've heard me talk about coaching basketball before, something I was terrified to do and didn't want to do, but that's a story for another day. I particularly loved coaching ball hockey. It was the greatest thing for me. I was so happy serving in that way. And I was good at it, not just from the basic coaching standpoint, but each year, out of all the other coaches, I had the most kids come back from my team. And they would tell their other little friends, and when they would register for ball hockey, they'd say, I want to be a duck, or I want to be a tornado. I loved it. In what ways can you see yourself passionately serving others and loving it too? That picture is from my last season coaching full-time. Overall, I only coached 3 years. But I loved it, so why would I ever give it up? Because as much as I loved it, I was called to take another step, a step outside my new comfort zone, a step that included giving up something I had just learned to love so that God could continue to do his work with that program, with those kids, and with me. Because with me now focused as the lead convener, I got to go on to develop curriculum and resources so that other churches in Guelph and Stratford and Scarborough and Toronto and Georgetown and all other places could develop their own sports programs. And that kid who becomes a missionary, he gets to take my place and coach that team and other kids like him. And they got to grow because those opportunities were there. It's tough to take that first step. It's scary. That second step, where you even have to go a little bit further outside the new comfort zone and expand it a little more, or maybe sacrifice something a little different that you never thought you'd have to before, that's hard too. But that's what faith is. It's taking the step God asks you to take, before you have any idea what the next step is going to be. That's a fun ringtone. We're running a little low here. We'll talk about David and Benaiah another day. Three things to remember. One, maximum impact comes from the ordinary, intentional decisions and purposeful actions that carry with it sacrifice and trust. Two, God won't waste anything. And three, true faith is taking the step God asks you to take before knowing what the next step will be. When we look at these passages of Scripture, it's a really significant miracle. As C.H. Spurgeon has pointed out, the fact that this is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels should tell us how significant it actually is. When the people's hunger is identified, we've got a bunch of hungry people and they need to be fed. In the Gospel of John, Jesus asks the disciples a question that he knows they can't answer. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? In the Gospel of Mark, once the need is identified, Jesus tells the disciples, "You give them something to eat." Their reaction is thinking that Jesus is crazy. It's going to cost 8 months' wages just so people can have a bite, let alone a meal. "Jesus, we don't have the resources. We don't have the ability. We can't do it. We can't feed them." That's the point. On your own, you can't do it. When we come together on a project or a program, it's still inadequate. We might be able to fake it for a while, but really, it's inadequate. Because living a life of maximum impact, being a church community of maximum impact, is a God-sized dream. And trying to do it without Jesus is impossible. Feeding 5,000 men, a crowd much larger when you count women and children. "Are you crazy? We hardly have any food. We hardly have any money. We can't do it." But when we surrender what little we have to offer Jesus, he can turn ordinary into extraordinary. Jesus will take your inadequacies, Jesus will take your shortcomings, and if you're intentional about it, if you sacrifice, and if you trust, he'll handle the rest. Now, living a life of maximum impact is tricky, and so we need to remember a couple of God-sized promises to keep in mind. Now, if you take notes, I would suggest that you write these down. If you don't, just lock them in your memory banks. A couple God-sized promises. God has promised to give you what you need. God has promised to give you what you need. You can read that in Matthew 6, 31 to 34. God has promised that he will guide you. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. God has promised to quiet your anxiousness, your anxiety, and to give you peace. Philippians 4, 6. And God has promised to drive out your fear and replace it with his love. 1 John 4:18. So if God has promised to provide what we need, can't we sacrifice and entrust him with the things that we have? If God has promised to guide us, can't we give him more of our time so that he can guide us? And if God has promised to quiet our anxiety and to drive out our fear, then what's really stopping us from taking a tiny step outside our comfort zone? On Wednesday night at youth group, we talked about having a receptive heart, and we talked about having to evaluate ourselves, evaluating our habits, and find ways to improve in our walk with Jesus. And we talked about Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and he's an Oscar winner now too for some reason. But Kobe was an amazing player. He constantly, though, evaluated himself and looked for ways to improve. Whether that was studying film or at halftime, he'd show film to his teammates and say, "Okay, this is how we can get better. You see, we made a mistake here. We can improve." Or there's stories about janitors coming in to clean the practice gym at 4 a.m, and there's Kobe Bryant on the court, and he's shooting from the same spot. And you make himself make it 100 times in a row. If he got to 99 and missed one, back to the beginning. And he didn't just pick random spots. He picked the spot where he missed an important shot the game before. And he would always look for ways to improve. So if Kobe Bryant, one of the best basketball players in the world, looked for ways to improve himself, here comes a challenge for us. You've got the month of June to work on this. So that leaves you 6 months left in 2018. Are you living a life of maximum impact? Evaluate your habits, evaluate your routines, and see how you're doing. Where are you doing well? Where could you use a little improvement? Now, with these 6 months left in the year, I want you to come up with six intentional and purposeful actions that require sacrifice and trust. Come up with one intentional thing that you're going to do each month to have maximum impact. Maybe you're going to come up with something that you're going to do in July, and then maybe August, you're going to do that thing and add another one to it. Or maybe you just want to stick with six things. It's your challenge, however it works for you. One thing a month. Let me give you a couple of examples to consider. If being late or being on time is an area that you can improve on, pick a Sunday. Pick one Sunday a month that you are for sure coming in early. You're going to set the alarm early, you're going to skip Tim Hortons, and you're coming. Or if typically you don't stick around for a cup of coffee or something after, pick a Sunday of the month where you're going to stay an extra 10 minutes and chat with some people you don't normally get to talk to. Ball hockey season's coming up this fall. Are you willing to give up 1 hour on a Saturday to have a coffee with people who don't attend our church? Camp's coming up. We're already full. Do you have an afternoon? Do you have a morning? Do you have a day? Do you have a couple days that week where you can hand it over to Jesus and let him do something extraordinary? Have lunch with somebody that you don't normally have lunch with, or invite that couple from work over, or the parents of your kids' friends. You've got the month of June to work on this, to come up with your plan, and you've got 6 months to execute it well. God will take what little you have to offer. God won't waste a thing. With some sacrifice and some trust, you can live a life of maximum impact. And together, as Byron Community Church, our members may change, our building may change, our leadership may change, but our legacy and our impact can never disappear. Worship team, we'll invite you back up here as we close off our service.